Welcome back. Say hello on Twitter at Richard Serrett. It would appear that haunted dolls are doing quite a brisk business on eBay. I was just reading this article by Sabrina Maddow at Vox.com. She writes, 30 years ago, the world was introduced to a 29-inch tall doll in overalls named Chucky, with eyes bluer than a White Walker's, hair more fiery than Ed Sheeran's, and a smattering of freckles a la Emma Stone. He looked like the perfect childhood buddy. Unfortunately, Chucky, the tiny antagonist of the 1988 movie Child's Play, was possessed by a serial killer with a knack for slaughtering people with butcher knives, yo-yo strings, and anything else he could find around the house. Today, almost everyone knows that if a wild-eyed doll asks, "Wanna play?" the only acceptable response is to run as fast and as far as you can in the opposite direction. Well, my guest, paranormal investigator Ross Allison, doesn't run in the opposite direction. He runs headlong towards haunted dolls. He's amassed quite a collection, and he'll tell us about them when Coast to Coast AM continues right after this. Ross Allison is the president and founder of A Ghost, Advanced Ghost Hunters of Seattle, Tacoma. With close to 30 years of investigating the paranormal and 16 years running a ghost hunting group, he travels internationally to investigate paranormal activity, collect ghost stories, and research cemeteries. Through his travels, he's investigated some of the scariest and most haunted sites known to man: the Stanley Hotel, Eastern State Prison, Amityville House, and he's investigated the Exorcist case, where he captured some of the scariest phenomena he has ever encountered. He's the author of several books on the ghosts and haunting, on ghosts and hauntings, including Spooked Seattle, Ghostology 101, Haunted Ships and Lighthouses, Psychology for the Ghost Hunter, Ghosts on Campus, and Spooked Again in Seattle. Ross Allison, welcome back to Coast AM. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
Terrific, thank you. I understand we've reached you in you're on location, I guess, doing an investigation. Tell me about Preston Castle in California. What is it?
Oh my God, it's an abandoned boys' reformatory. It was shut down in the 1960s, and it was falling in on itself. And a group of people came together, and they decided to save the building. It is a beautiful building. They call it Preston Castle because it actually looks somewhat like a castle. But it's got a long history of tragedy, murder. In fact, one young woman was murdered on the location. And it's also got quite a few ghost stories. So I'm actually here at their Paracon event. I come out here every year and speak. And I was out here doing a lecture and brought some of my haunted objects as well to display. So it's been an awesome weekend here.
And are you in the castle right now?
I am.
After midnight, and it's abandoned.
It is abandoned.
Are you hunkering down for the night there?
We're not spending the night. I just thought it'd be awesome to do this from Preston Castle.
Absolutely. And if there's any activity, you'll be sure to let us know. But hopefully, you'll be able to stay put. They won't chase you off.
I honestly have to avoid the bats. There are bats flying around here like crazy.
Oh, is that right?
There are.
I'm fascinated by bats. Well, that's good news because we're kind of worried about the bat population. So the fact that they're there, I guess, is an encouraging sign.
Oh, yeah.
I mentioned off the top of the show, you know, for me, Magic with Anthony Hopkins, that I was just done in by that movie.
Oh, my God,
I had a ventriloquist dummy, and I had to put it away for many years. And I guess as a young kid, I didn't understand the subtlety. You know, this was not a demonically possessed ventriloquist dummy. This was the Anthony Hopkins sort of descent into madness.
Right.
And then of course we had the Chucky franchise. But do you draw a distinction? I mean, and we'll talk about your collection in a moment. But when you're talking about a possessed doll or a cursed object versus a possessed object versus a spirit attachment, do you draw a distinction, or are they all basically the same thing?
Well, it varies. When you're dealing with, you know, something that's possessed or haunted, then obviously you're dealing with an intelligent entity that's attached to the object. When you're dealing with something that's cursed, it just causes unfortunately, like bad luck or ill things to happen to anybody that's near that object. So there is a difference there.
But I'm thinking maybe people are misidentifying it. They think it's cursed, but there may be more to it. There might be an intelligence. It might be a spirit attachment, is there anything such as a curse, or is it usually a spirit attachment or a possession?
Well, I find a lot of times there's usually something attached to it, and so when you're dealing with a haunted object, you usually find some sort of intelligence factor, how it interacts with the environment, how it interacts with individuals on the property. So those are some of the things that you want to look for when you are dealing with a haunted object.
And we tend to think of antiques, you know, like an old armoire or an old, chaise longue from the 1920s or something, as those are the objects that usually pick up little hitchhikers that we bring into our house. But is it usually old things, or could it be something fairly modern and new?
Oh, no, definitely new things can be haunted as well. It really is all about how attached that person was to the object itself. You know, wedding rings could be haunted, and it doesn't have to be, you know, an old wedding ring. It could be something that was recently given to somebody. Something might have tragically happened to the bride just after her wedding, and there's still that attachment to that ring that symbolized her love to her partner, and she wants to hold on to that. And so, yeah, a wedding ring could easily be haunted that's brand new.
So I'm trying to imagine, when a spirit is attached to an object as small as a piece of, you know, a jewelry, are they actually... This may sound silly, but are they trapped inside it, or are they simply in proximity to that item?
I would say that they're just attached to the item, not inside of it. Now, when it comes to dolls, there's a big belief that sometimes they are inside the actual doll, because that doll symbolizes the human body itself. So they are these empty vessels that are easily can absorb and harness that spirit or entity.
So I was reading an article from Vox.com about how haunted dolls are doing a brisk business. People want to buy these things.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, why? I mean, you're a collector. You have dozens of these. But for the average person who maybe doesn't know what they're dealing with, is there a downside? Is there a danger to owning a haunted doll or a possessed doll?
Of course. You never know what you're getting involved with. I always tell people, you know, there's this thrill, you know, especially since, you know, ghost hunting's become a huge thing. You're finding a lot of people going out and having that excitement, that thrill. It's almost like going to, you know, Disneyland and getting on the Haunted Mansion ride. You think it's going to be exciting because you see it on TV, and it's kind of thrilling. You get that jolt, when something startling happens. But you really don't know what you're dealing with when you are going into a lot of these haunted places. You know, haunted hotels are notorious for their most haunted rooms being booked a year in advance because people want that thrill. Well, it's the same thing, you know, with haunted toys. It is a buyer's beware. You never know what you're going to get. But in most cases, and I'll be honest with you, a lot of times it's just a scam. And this all started with eBay. One of the most famous haunted dolls that was sold, and I can't remember how long ago. This was a long time ago. He's labeled as one of the first haunted dolls sold on eBay. And this is called Haunted Harold. It's actually in our book, Haunted Toys, that myself and David Weatherly did. And the funny thing is this doll went for like $700 in this big bidding war. And it had a great story, you know, background story to it and everything. And after Harold had went for so much money, so many people wanted in on that quick buck. So they started posting dolls all over eBay claiming that they were haunted. But in most cases, they weren't. It was a lot of people just trying to, you know, hopefully sell another $700 doll. So it is a lot of buyer beware, because some people will pay good money for a doll that just might look creepy and not have anything attached to it. So one of the things I always tell people, if you are looking for a haunted object, look at the person's, you know, previous sales. If they're selling a lot of haunted objects, they're probably really not haunted. It's going to be that one unique item that's going to go up that somebody's just like, I don't want this anymore. Somebody take this off my hands.
Right.
And that's how I get a lot of these.
And I'm guessing also people that come into possession, they think maybe it's kind of cool to have a haunted doll, but then they've got their hands full. They don't want to deal with it anymore.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, what is it that people tell you when they come to you and say, please take this, I can't take it anymore? What's happening in their lives to make them want to get rid of this haunted object?
Well, I find a lot of times, you know, people are thrilled to have that haunted object, but then when they start to experience some of the things, it gets a little shocking, you know, because then you realize that there is this object in your home that you're not aware of what it could do. You know, some of these objects, haunted toys, you know, haunted objects can easily become a tripping hazard and cause harm to people. And you'll have lots of stories where people will say they brought this object into their home and now they're experiencing nightmares night after night. Things are being moved around their home. They'll hear sounds of, you know, maybe children laughing or even babies crying. And sometimes they even says that it affects their moods. They'll be in situations where this is a perfectly happy person, but sometimes they'll actually become depressed, almost to the point where even they may even contemplate suicide, or they became angry, and they just want to start punching people. And it's those things like that. It's like, you don't want this thing around you.
That sounds more like almost like a demonic possession or oppression versus just a spiritual attachment, or am I wrong?
It could be both. You know, it doesn't have to be demonic to cause negativity in your home. I've always said, you know, there's a lot of people in our lives that have a lot of that negativity that they carry with them. And sometimes even when they pass on, that negativity can carry on. So I don't always like to push the demon button, but yeah, there are some very negative energies out there that can pass on to these objects. But then there are also sometimes you might be lucky enough to get something that does carry a more positive energy. Does, you know, like I said, you might hear children laughing when you bring this into your home. You know, it might bring you pleasure that you'll see a child lingering around this toy that they once loved.
So tell me about your collection. Let's start with the dolls, because I know you've got in the Death Museum, right? This is the Death Museum in Seattle.
Yes.
And I know you've got, you know, quite a collection of different things. Let's start with the dolls. How many?
Oh, gosh, I got about 45 to 50.
And how many of them are, do you suspect, either haunted or possessed?
I'd say about half of them, to be honest with you. We've had some personal experiences with about half of them.
All right. Let's talk about some of those. Do these dolls have names? Can we identify them by name? Do they have names, these dolls?
Most of them do have some names that we've given them.
Okay.
One of our most famous ones is Mr. Creepy, and I know we were just talking about ventriloquist dolls in the Magic movie. Yeah, ventriloquism is pretty interesting because it's got a very dark history as well. If you're not familiar with it, you know, it was believed to, you know, have traces back to magic. People used ventriloquism to tell the future. They'd say that, you know, spirits were talking through their stomach. In any other orifices. And so a lot of people were using ventriloquism quite a bit for that. And then also people thought, well, gosh, you know, people that were doing ventriloquism was definitely into Satanism. This was the work of the devil. And many people were burned at the stake for doing ventriloquism. It wasn't until the vaudeville days when they introduced the dummy that things got a little more into the entertainment value, where they now have this sidekick. And the funny thing is, I also found out that psychologists would use these dummies for people that actually had split personalities. They would encourage these people with these split personalities to transfer that split personality into this doll.
Ah, right.
Another prime example why ventriloquist dolls could easily be haunted. Because you're creating this alter ego to be in this doll. Well,
fascinating. That's basically the premise of magic. The magic.
Exactly.
Movie.
Exactly. Right. Well, one of ours that we have is known as Mr. Creepy. Now, it's not a name I gave him. It's a name he actually came with. And his story goes back to the 1960s when he was created by a retired ventriloquist artist. And he actually goes back to the vaudeville days here in the Northwest. And he actually created this doll in his likeness. And he created a female counterpart in his wife's likeness. Now, what makes these dolls even extra creepier is they use their real hair on these dolls. Now, unfortunately, the couple passed away. And after their passing, the dolls were sold as a pair at the estate sale. And this lady who actually runs an antique store, she purchases the dolls and she puts them on a shelf behind her register. And they sat there for a good long time. No issues whatsoever. Well, unfortunately, they had sold the building that she was in. So this means she had to pack up the dolls. And she packed them up separately, and she put them into storage until she got her new shop. Then when she gets her new shop, she goes to the storage unit, and she starts pulling pieces, and she finds the male figure, but she can't find the female. But she goes ahead and takes the male, and she puts them in a glass case behind the register. Now, this is when things get interesting. Right away, she starts having these eerie feelings like there's somebody standing behind her, breathing down the back of her neck. She constantly got the chills. She said someday she'd even come in and find that his head would be turned in another direction. His eyes would be looking in another direction. Now, what makes that interesting is his eyes are actually spring-loaded. So the trigger to move his eyes left or right, once you let go of the trigger, his eyes automatically spring right back to the center.
Right. So these are elaborate. These are elaborate ventriloquist dummies. They're real,
yeah.
The real deal.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So you can't make his eyes stay left or right unless you're holding onto that trigger. But she'd come into the store and find that he's looking left or right. Yeah. And we've experienced that too at Spooked in Seattle. Well, then one day she comes in and she finds that the glass case is wide open. Now, this freaks her out enough that she doesn't want to deal with this guy on a normal basis anymore. So she removes him from the glass case, and she puts him at the back of the store on a bottom shelf. She doesn't have to see him every day. So as I, you know, visit a lot of these antique stores looking for pieces for my museum, I always ask them, you know, do you have anything that's odd? Because I'd like to hear their stories. And immediately she introduced me to him, and she tells me a story. And I'm like, oh, my God, this guy is great. I would love to give him a home here at Spooked in Seattle. So she was so happy to get rid of him that she sold me him for $1. Yeah. So like, this is great. This is a great deal. So I bring him to Spooked in Seattle. Now, we had this beautiful, you know, antique glass case. So I put him in the glass case. Now, this is one of those glass cases that was heavy, usually took about two people pulled away from the wall, and then you'd have access to the glass doors to open it up in the back, lock it, close the doors, lock it, push it back up against the wall. So he was on display in this case. Now, I'm alone at Spooked in Seattle, and I'm in the office, and all of a sudden I hear this strange thud, and it sounds like something had hit some glass. Now, I'm not sure what this was, but I immediately thought, oh, this is probably, you know, something happened in the gift shop. So I go out, and I'm looking around the gift shop, and I can't find anything disturbed. And I start looking around, you know, I'm trying to figure out what made that noise. So I make my way around the tables, and now I'm facing that glass case with all the dolls. And I notice right away that his head is turned and leaning up against the glass.
Yikes. Oh, boy, here
yeah,
we go.
Yeah. So I immediately take a picture of it, you know, just to prove this really did happen. Here's where it gets even more interesting. As I'm examining the photo that I just took of this guy, and if you ever see a picture of him, he's very cartoonish, you know, he's got these big round face, you know, round cheeks, big round eyes. But I noticed right away in the reflection of the glass in the picture, he had this more elongated face, very droopy eyes, more life looking.
And Ross, I'm going to jump in here, and we're going to take a quick time out. You just settle in there. Watch out for the bats at the Preston Castle Reformatory. We'll come back and talk more about haunted objects and haunted dolls. Welcome back. What a pleasure and a privilege to be spending a Saturday night into Sunday morning with you. And again, once again, a happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. We need dads. We need good dads. A Catholic bishop is planning on pouring holy water over a city from a helicopter to carry out an exorcism on demons. Ruben Dario Montoya wants to use his position as Bishop of Buenaventura in Colombia to purge the streets of evil. Montoya told local radio station Blue Radio, quote, "We want to go around the whole of Buenaventura from the air and pour holy water onto it to see if we exorcise and get out all those demons that are destroying our port so that God's blessing comes and gets rid of all the wickedness that's in our streets," end quote. Local media report the National Army support the bishop's plan and have offered him the use of a helicopter to carry it out. You can read more about that in the news section, where editor Tim Banal and webmaster Sean Latasur have posted that and other tantalizing tidbits. All right, back to more of my conversation with Ross Allison, paranormal investigator, ghost hunter, as we continue to discuss haunted and possessed dolls right here on Coast to Coast AM. And we are back with Ross Allison, president and founder of A Ghost, Advanced Ghost Hunters of Seattle, Tacoma. And we found him at the Preston Castle, an abandoned reformatory school in California tonight. And any action, anything happening, Ross, out of the unusual?
Just a few bats squeaking, because I think the owls are chasing after them a few places here. This place is amazing. It's huge. And we've had the pleasure of going at least to the top three floors. The rest of it has kind of caved in on itself, so we're not that safe.
And are you hoping to capture some EVPs this evening?
Oh, yeah. No, we've been doing EVPs and doing photography, some video. We've had situations where we've heard disembodied voices talking to us, just almost like it's directly right in front of you. You're like, who said that? And it's like, none of us. You'll see shadows moving down the hallways, just moving back and forth, pacing like if they're waiting for you to come down there. This place is amazing.
And they actually
do ghost hunts, so if you ever want to come out, check it out.
And describe where you are right now in Preston Castle. Are you in a dark room, or where are you?
I'm in the basement. So this
of course.
They host a lot of the events down here, so the vendor tables were all down here. So it's just a big open space right now.
Dimly lit?
It's a little dimly lit, yes. So when you look down at a certain, when you walk out into the hallways, you can look down the hallways and see just directly down one of these hallways is where the body was found of the young lady that was murdered. So that's really dark down there. And every once in a while, people say that they'll see somebody peeking out. So, you know, I don't know if I want to get that distracted as I'm trying to tell you some doll stories and looking for ghosts at the same time.
Right. Now, let's get back to Mr. Creepy. This was this ventriloquist dummy that you took off a store owner's hands because it was kind of creeping her out. And it was made in the likeness of of the person who created it. But there was also a Mrs. Creepy, I suppose, that somehow got lost. So,
yeah. So after my experience, you know, of seeing him move his head, and of course I took that picture, and there was this reflection of this gentleman, more lifelike looking in this reflection. And I was like, oh my God, is this the guy that actually haunts this doll? And I really believe so. And a lot of people have asked me why. And I really do believe that he is looking for the female counterpart.
She was never found.
Yeah, never found. And so we are on a quest to try and find her, to bring those two together.
She's in a storage locker somewhere, perhaps.
Yes. And unfortunately, this woman actually is a hoarder. So she's got like, you know, five storage units just crammed packed of all these antiques. So hopefully someday she'll come across her and reunite these two.
And until that time, Mr. Creepy will not rest.
No, he keeps looking around for her. And there have been quite a few witnesses that have actually seen his head slowly turn.
Yikes.
Yeah.
What would you say is the most haunted object you have at Spooked Seattle?
Well, Mr. Creepy is our number one, but another great experience that we've had there is we are connected to the Seattle Underground, and I had obtained a location that used to be a restaurant. Now, when they moved out, and this restaurant was known as D'Annunzio's, they moved out, and this place sat abandoned for 2.5 years. So when they finally gave me the keys to this location, I ventured down there, you know, by myself, and I was just kind of looking around. I was just in awe that I had the space to myself now. And I started going through a lot of the stuff that the restaurant had left behind. And one of the things that I found was this little wooden chair. And so I was like, oh, this is a great chair. You know, it's a little kid's chair, and it was perfect working order. So I thought I was going to keep it. So I moved the chair into the back room. And I went and investigated some more, and I started going through the rest of the stuff, and I was, you know, starting what was going to be my key pile and what was going to go to the dump. And so I found some more stuff I was going to keep, and so I go back into the room where I'd left that chair, and to my surprise, the chair's not where I just set it. So I, you know, didn't put too much into it because I'm running off a lot of adrenaline, excitement, being in this space. So I just, you know, dropped off what I had in my hands, and I went exploring again. I came back with another handful of stuff, and now the chair is not where I last saw it. Now, luckily, as I was exploring around down here, I actually, you know, found a piece of chalk. So I ran and grabbed that piece of chalk, and I went back to the chair, and I drew circles around the legs, and I stepped back out again. Sure enough, when I went back into the room, the chair had moved out of those circles. So one of the things that I had learned when we had investigated the restaurant was there is a spirit of a little girl that haunts that area. And so I thought, well, maybe this is that little girl letting us know that she's still around. So I actually bought her a doll because I wanted this little girl to feel welcomed. Now, what's really cool about this doll is she's got a little wind-up key in her back, and so this actually has a music box. So I set this doll on the chair for the little girl, and I let her know that, you know, this is hers, you know, come and play with this little doll whenever you like. Well, she does like to play with this little doll. In fact, there have been quite a few times when that doll will actually play that music every so often by itself.
She's winding it up.
Yeah, she just winds it up. Now, here's one of the most interesting things that we captured. We were doing an investigation, and sure enough, you hear the doll playing. Now, the team that's in the room, you know, capturing, you know, hearing this doll, they're excited. They're like, oh, my God, you guys, the doll, can you hear the doll? And the team lead is trying to get everybody to be quiet so that they can record the doll. So he says, hush, out loud to the team, just to shut them up. And right when he says, hush, out loud, the doll stops too.
Ah. Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
So she definitely loves to play with her little doll. So there's a little bit of attachment there. So if you ever come out to Spooked in Seattle, you actually get to experience that piece of evidence. And of course, the chair and the doll that she likes to play with.
What about an object that it may not have a spirit attachment in the sense that it's, you know, a friendly ghost or a ghost of a child? You suspect it might actually be demonically possessed. Do you have anything like that?
We do. We do have a doll that we call our demon doll. Now, this is an interesting case because I came across this doll on a Craigslist ad. And the story was that this doll had belonged to this family's great aunt. And when she was 9 years old, they claimed that she was actually possessed. And so they stated that the local priest had come in and exorcised the demon from their aunt, and they transferred it into her doll. Then the priest put his rosary on this doll to prevent that demon from escaping. So for decades and decades, it's been the family's sole responsibility to make sure that this rosary does not come off the doll. Well, this is all due to the fact that the family believes that whatever is in this doll is out to destroy their family. Because prior to this, the family had experienced nothing but horrible, horrible luck. But since this whatever it is was now captured in the doll, things got better for them. Well, now it's the younger generation's turn to take care of the doll. They don't want it. So they had posted an ad on Craigslist hoping that somebody would actually take this doll off their hands. Now, they didn't want any money. In fact, they were willing to pay whatever fees they needed to pay to have this doll shipped out if they needed to. And they didn't want to have any fame either. I'm not even allowed to tell you the family's name. They just didn't want the responsibility. So I was in touch with the family, and I told them, you know, this doll is going to be, you know, in my museum. It'll be behind glass. No one will be able to touch the doll. So they gave me the doll. Now, we're going back to that antique glass case that I told you about that Mr. Creepy's in.
Right.
Now, again, it's a heavy case. Usually takes about two people to slowly pull it away so you don't disrupt everything in the case. You unlock the doors, put it in, lock it, push it back up against the wall. I did just that. Had it on display, really nice. And the next day I come in, and I introduce the doll to one of our tour guides. And I get to ready to tell the story, and I noticed right away that the crucifix was upside down.
Oh, I wish you hadn't told me that.
Yeah, so I had to go through the whole procedure, pull it away from the wall, unlock the door, fix it, lock the door, push it back up against the wall. It hasn't moved since. But I do believe that whatever's in that doll just probably gave me a warning that it's there.
And so you had the demon doll and Mr. Creepy in the same display case?
In the same display case.
I wonder how Mr. Creepy feels about that.
Well, he's got his own case now, so he's a little more happy.
Ah, all right. And if someone offered to buy the demon doll, but you didn't know what their intention was, but they offered you a lot of money, I mean, you're sort of the guardian, right? You're there to make sure that whatever in that doll doesn't get out. But what if someone offers you just a pile of money, Ross? Are you going to take it?
No. I made a promise to a family to make sure that this doll would be kept safe, you know, for protection of their family. They believe, again, that whatever's in this doll is out to destroy them. So it's my sole purpose now is to protect that doll and to protect the family as well. So, no, I wouldn't sell the doll.
If someone... they've got, some people like antiques. I like antiques. And they go to the flea markets and so forth. And they bring, their house is just chock-a-block of other people's old stuff. And then they start to figure out that they've got a paranormal issue in their house, a haunting, a spirit attachment. But, I mean, where do you, it's like looking for a needle in a haystack. How do you narrow it down? Do you have a method to figure out which object might be causing the problem?
Well, again, it's all about, you know, doing a thorough interview with your clients. You kind of have to find out, you know, what actually happened. When did it actually happen? Did it happen when they started bringing in certain objects? So there is a bit of a thorough interview that you kind of have to go through to try and narrow these things down. You know, sometimes you might be lucky enough and the activity tends to happen just around a certain object. And you can pinpoint, you know, exactly where it's coming from. But sometimes, you know, these energies can just expand outside of that object and just, you know, mess around with anything within the house. So you really do have to, you know, try to get as much information you can from your client. And hopefully when they're having these experiences, and I can't express this enough, is if you are dealing with any paranormal activity in your home, to journal your experiences. This is going to start to help pinpoint where these changes have actually started to happen. And they also help us if there's a pattern to the activity. Because then if there's a pattern to the activity, then we know when's the best time to hopefully investigate. Because we'll be there at the right time, at the right place.
Do EVPs, can you capture an EVP directly from an object? I mean, does it emanate from an object, a doll, for example? Have you ever run into that?
Oh, yes. In fact, a great story that I can tell you about that is a story that has to deal with a haunted lamb. This is a stuffed lamb that this little girl just loved, and she carried it with her everywhere she went. Well, unfortunately, she was crossing the street with the lamb, and she was struck by a car. And, of course, her and the lamb are separated. And she unfortunately died from her injuries. But the mother, of course, wanted her daughter to be buried with her precious little lamb toy. So her mother went back to the scene and, of course, could not find that lamb anywhere. And they searched all over the place. Well, funeral comes around, and unfortunately they weren't able to bury her daughter with that lamb. But the odd thing is when they got home from the funeral, there was the lamb sitting on their porch.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Oh, my.
So she immediately brings it into her home, and, you know, and she puts it on her daughter's bed. And the next day when she gets up, here's the lamb sitting in front of the TV on a Saturday morning, just like her daughter would, just to watch all the cartoons. And these things started to happen quite often with this little toy lamb. And as she had more and more of these experiences, she decided to, you know, the curiosity gets better of her, and so she contacts an investigator, a paranormal investigator. And, of course, the first thing he does is he decides, you know, to try for EVP. So he sets the lamb on the table, and, you know, sets the recorder next to it. And, of course, you know, they start asking questions. And, you know, through these investigations, they were able to pick up EVPs of the little girl giggling. She would be talking. But then one day, they continued to do their investigation. And it was just an odd night. You know, things weren't as cheerful as they usually are. And, of course, they do their EVP session. And he goes to pick up the lamb doll and go to put it on her bed. And he realizes the lamb was a little damp. But, you know, they didn't think much of it. So they go ahead and set it on the bed. And, of course, he goes home and starts, you know, reviewing the audio. But that night, the mother just had this, you know, really aching feeling. And she just could not rest. So she decides to go into her daughter's room. And she's laying on the bed, you know, holding her little lamb. And she happens to look up, and she sees her daughter in the doorway. And her daughter just vanishes. Well, that night, that investigator was listening to his recording. And he actually heard the daughter crying. And what we think was happening is her daughter was ready to say goodbye.
Ah. And the lamb was damp from her tears.
From her tears, yeah.
That's heart-wrenching.
It is. It is.
Ross Allison is the president and founder of A Ghost, Advanced Ghost Hunters of Seattle, Tacoma. You've got a blog talk radio show called The Angry Ghost Hunter. Why are you angry?
I was doing that because of the fact that there's a lot of problems that we're finding in the paranormal field. A lot of groups tend to get territorial. They get very possessive. And there's a lot of what they call paradrama in the field.
Paradrama.
Yes, paradrama.
I love it. Listen, Ross, let's just hold on that thought. We'll continue. We'll pick up on that thread when we come back on the other side. And we'll also open up the phone lines and take questions and comments, particularly if you have an object you suspect might be haunted. We would love to hear from you.